This session title is a state level data, but actually I'm not going to show you the state level data. I'll show you statewide community level data and show you how to use NADI to help the Department of Public Health to do the public health programming. So firstly, I have nothing to disclose. I'm not making any money out of this.
Can you please stand just a bit closer to the mic?
Oh, okay. All right. Firstly, I have nothing to disclose. I'm not making any money by giving this lecture. So I'm going to illustrate three practical examples, including adult physical inactivity, fruit and vegetable consumptions, and their relationships to the obesity prevalence in Massachusetts communities. First, I would like to acknowledge my collaborators. This slide we're putting together from three projects, and including my colleagues at the University of Massachusetts Medical School, as well as the Department of Public Health. So learning objectives in the first, describe what are the small area estimation methodology and how we can use the prevalence estimates from small area estimation models and putting them into work. So the first question is, why do we need a community level prevalence estimates? Most of the state level programming, you have the state level data. So in general, like BRFS data, most of the prevalence estimates and the state level really, although there is increased trend, more and more people using these community level estimates, but in general, the birth rate data is generated at the state level. Then the question is, why do we need to go extra steps? The first is that at the state level, most of the public health programming, they want to target a specific intervention or surveillance efforts to the particular communities. So we needed to make this health policy making process to be locally relevant. So we will need this information. And also because our resources we have so little public health resources and there are so many work to do, so much work to do, then we have to prioritize our intervention act. And also because there are some flaws in our data collection systems, many of the small and rural areas or communities are ignored in the process of the surveillance efforts. And we need to identify those areas with all the information and figure out what to do about them. And putting all those together, we need community level information to prioritize, to planning our surveillance as well as intervention efforts. So the bottom line is that we have to make our data to be locally relevant. So these three examples are all based on the Massachusetts birth rate data, including physical inactivity, which is defined as has no exercise at all in the past 30 days. Here is no exercise at all in the past 30 days and the time of calling. And also the daily consumption of fruits and vegetables, five or more serves, and obesity defined as and just body mass index is greater than or equal to 30 kilogram per square meter. So the first question is, well, you talk about community and neighborhoods, how do you define communities? What is the good way of doing that? I think we have to think about how the residents perceive their neighborhoods or community and must have some criteria such as the residents must have some sense of belonging or affiliation to a particular geographic land. And it must be a recognizable unit, not a relevant to the public health policy making or public health programming. And it happens that in Massachusetts, it's unlike our states in this country, the town and cities satisfy those criteria. In our states, like in Nevada, it's probably they don't have a concept of town. Mostly operate under the county level. But in the six New England states, the counties are just a statistical area for the census purpose. There's low infrastructure, low government unity attached to it. So we have to come down to the town and city level. So those units must be administratively and fiscally independent, and so we can target a particular policy actions and not level. And also in Massachusetts, the most services are operating at the town city level. So in total, we have 351 towns and cities in Massachusetts. And as we know, the some of the towns are very small. You talk about like 3,000 people. And some of the cities are very large, such as the city of Boston, which has 500,000 people. If you treat them as is, the unit of analysis, you know, immediately know they've got a big problem because there's a lot of comparable. It doesn't make sense to analyze them and at the same time. So we decided to divide them into subunits and for the planning purpose. And we come up we go along with the existing classification of neighborhoods in the particular cities, such as in Boston, which has established neighborhood planning districts, which is including 17 units. And Worcester has like 80 zip codes. So we go through, did this for all 12 large cities in Massachusetts. In total, we come up with exactly 400 communities. And each community includes about 3 to 5 census tracts. We're talking about roughly about 10,000 to 50,000 residents in each unit. So here's one example how the neighborhoods were divided in the city of Boston. So what we can do is that, and the method actually is quite simple. You first identify your individual level data sources, which is the birth data from 1999 to 2007, and you extract data from the food and vegetable intake and physical activity and obesity and other social demographic factors. Then we integrate them with the community level data, which we derived from census 2000, and also the land use data, accessibility data from state government. Then we integrate them into the two-level data set. Then we apply the hierarchical logistical regression models, and then we estimate association of those individual level and community level factors with those three outcomes. Then we plug, after we have the model, we develop a small area mesh models and plug in the community level information. Then we can estimate the community prevalence. And based on that, we can make maps. We can also identify the hotspots and recommend specific intervention actions. So again, it's a very simple two-level mixed effects model. And we treat each respondent in the particular units as independent from each other. And then we also include the town community level random intercepts and slopes over the interview years to assess the trend. So here's a little bit of mathematics. So it's probably not a very interesting. Let me skip. Here's a prevalence estimated equation. And we have talked about this. Okay, let's talk a little bit about data. In Massachusetts, the birth data, we can geocode about 99% of subjects to the town, city, and community level. And in the sample size, we have 52,000 for the food and vegetable consumption indicator, and about 81,000 physical inactivity reports, and 84,000 for the obesity report. Here is the state level estimates describing the gender specific prevalence estimates over the year. You can see the women are actually doing quite much better than men. They eat more, they ate more fruit and vegetables, and men are not doing very, very poorly. So now gender disparities persist over the years and actually is worsening. If you see the line actually, it is declining. here is state-level prevalence estimates of physical inactivity. You can see there's not much change over time. Again, I think the woman did worse than man, less active than man. So it flipped the coin different. They ate better, but exercise less. So we are equal. Here is the few gender disparities and of the obesity prevalence. And again, we can use the same model to assess the trend over time. Because it's very troubling message here. Basically, it tells you that the trend of the fruit and vegetable consumption and declined over the years, given the efforts we put so much efforts to promote the food and vegetable consumption in the state. We are not seeing any effects, actually, it's declining. And we tried to promote physical activity, but we did not see any impact there. And another troubling message is that even given a state like Massachusetts, it's economically advanced and highly educated, and it's the third leanest states of this country. But its obesity prevalence is increasing over time. And also, it's very bad message is that those trends has a very little variations between the neighborhoods and its rich or poor, rural, urban. They have experienced a similar trend. Here's and just odds ratio for the fruit and vegetable consumption by gender and age group. I think this is my favorite slide, and you can see the men after reach adulthood, and they left their home, they are doing consistently worse than women, and they are not learning when they're getting older until they retire. Well, at the time they retire, they attempt to eat better, but usually it's too late. And women are much smarter, and they are learning over the years, and you can see it's a persistent increase in fruit and vegetable consumption. But we say it's probably attributed to the motherhood, and because they have taken care of families, taking care of the kids, be a good role model to the next generation. But there is also another theory, because the woman just simply, this is self-reported data, the woman just a better liar. Okay, you can come up with many reasons, but I don't have very good reason to explain. And this here is an just odds ratio for the no physical exercise. And you can see, I want to point out, usually in most analysis, people ignore the fact that there's a dip and a retirement age. So if you treat it as a linear effect, it's going to be getting you the wrong results. So I'm going to, this is all the state level data, I'm going to skip this. How much time I have?
6 more minutes.
Okay. So you can also display all kinds of disparities by social demographic factors in graphical format. I'm going to skip this. And also this tabular format, it's not very interesting. I'm going to skip all that. I want to see the maps. This is my favorite. So you can estimate the prevalence and community level and make maps and show which area has a high or low prevalence of food and vegetable intake, obesity, and physical exercise. And I want to particularly point to your attention to the blue blocks. Those are the neighborhoods without adequate information. And it's a flaw of our data collection system. And because there was no information available, those rural and socioeconomically disadvantaged small communities were usually left out in the public health planning process, citing no information available. They are at a very disadvantaged place to get any of the state funds to do any of the studies, which is very troubling, and we are trying to fix this problem. And then here is the obesity prevalence, and also we came up with a priority classification scheme based on the prevalence estimates and the community level and the particular problem, such as the precision level and how far they are away from the health people. 2010 goes, how far they are away from state average, and we suggest some recommendations. Here is, we can also plot the tri-verbal relationships and the food and vegetable consumption. Usually people would expect the dots to be spread over time. It is not. These three factors are strongly correlated with each other. And we can now recognize is actually for the lower and upper quartile values for both variables. And the size of the bubble is the proportion to the obesity prevalence. You can have some kind of sense to how these three tri-verbal relationships are, and then you can come up with some further analysis. Okay, finally, I want to point out that in the lower left corner, there are some communities there that consistently did very poorly in terms of physical activity and the food and vegetable intake, and they also have the highest obesity prevalence. Those communities happen to be the poorest minority communities, and typically has a job, blue-collar jobs. So those are the communities were identified as priority communities for intervention studies. And another troubling factor, if you look at an MC, if you try to promote physical activity in those neighborhoods, you're probably going to move up this way, and you won't be able to see any effects in terms of reduced obesity prevalence. For them, it's probably more important to increase the food and vegetable consumption, make sure they eat well, and then you can move them forward. So what we learned from this practice, the first is that we must make our data relevant to local communities, so we can communicate information directly relevant to their lives, to the planning, and bring them closer to us. So I would advocate for that. Whenever possible, please do statewide community-specific planning, not just state level, because it's not helpful. So our job is not only to lower the overall prevalence of the state, but we have the obligation to eliminate the geographic and the socioeconomic disparities. To eliminate the disparities, we're talking about eliminating the differences and the community-specific prevalence. So I just illustrated that it seems to be very difficult to do, but it's not. It's most of the master level person, as a training in MPH or MS in Biostan, they can do this. And also, because hierarchical modeling is now routinely included in the curriculum in the MPH program as well as the MS program, so it can be done. It's not hard. And it's very professionally rewarding, and the people, if you're doing this, you can generate very good papers, get it published, and impress your boss. And I think finally, if you can generate some local data, it really makes you look good. If you go to the communities and talk to them, here is something about your neighborhoods, here is what happened to your own neighborhoods, rather than talking about tail and state level estimates. Who cares? Okay, I think I'm ending here.
Thank you for a very nice presentation. Nice graphs I've seen all weekend.
Thank you very much.
You had a slide up there where you said that the Burpus data was, and I want to make sure I understood it, the Burpus data was 99%, covered 99% of your sampling counties, your 400 regions. Did I interpret that right?
No, I think 99% of the respondents in the birth data in that time period, we can geocode them to the town and the city levels. So there are about 90,000 respondents in that sample. Among them, about 99% of them, we have the zip codes or town city level information. Wow. We can process them. But
how many of your 400
It's about like a 5 to 10%. It depends on the year, and so we are trying to modify the sampling plan so all the communities are covered. Because I tried it very hard to talk to them and say this is not right, because you left it almost still. Most of the poorest and the rural communities left out in the planning process, and they will never had any chance to receive any of state funds, which is we are creating disparities instead of we are eliminating them.